worship for about a half hour to practice, and then we'd go through our studies and stuff. That was pretty nice. Excuse me as I drink in public. So, good enough. So the idea of our subject today is holiness. And that word might scare you. Be holy, right? And that's actually part of the text. Be holy, because God is holy. And what we want to think about is why is holiness so important? And it is absolutely crucial to who we are, holiness. What does it look like? I think that's probably an area where many people, if you wrote down what you think holiness looks like, you might find that it's not quite what you think. And how do we become holy? How do we become holy? Well, obviously, everything in God's plan begins with Jesus. This is from last week. We did 1 Peter 1, 1 through 9. But this is talking about what God does for us, and holiness is a result of God's work in us, okay? And it's, so God chose us from eternity. He sanctifies us by the Holy Spirit. Sanctifying actually means to be made holy. We just don't say holyified. It's the same word as holy in a verb. So sanctified and holy, the Holy Spirit does that, purifies us through the sprinkled blood of Jesus Christ. I mentioned last time that when they built the temple, the tabernacle, Moses was told to take a hyssop branch and dip it in blood and sprinkle everything with blood. It was a way to purify, to sanctify, and we are sanctified, we are purified through the blood of Jesus Christ. We get spiritual birth, that new life, that new obedience to Jesus Christ. Before I became a Christian, I wanted to do better. I wanted to be better. I wanted to, walk closer to God, and I just couldn't do it. But when Jesus Christ became my real, true, honest Savior, I moved just huge forward towards being able to live that life. And I know some of us share that same testimony that Jesus Christ gives us that ability. He protects us. God protects us. And I call us his little aliens. Because Peter starts off by saying, you are aliens. We're strangers in this world. That will come up again. But it means that because we have God in us and because we have his wisdom, his truth, and that we don't think the way the worldly people, the godless people think. We think differently. We behave differently. We're aliens. And the other great promise for us is our hope that's in front of us is that we have a kingdom of heaven. That's our aspiration. I'm not trying to get a mansion here. No point. It goes away, right? As soon as I'm gone, it's gone. Right? But in the kingdom of heaven, we are promised a place, and I'm sure it is like one of the most glorious places, and we get to not stay there for a minute, but for eternity. So Peter then says, as to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating, as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. So this is talking about the entire Old Testament. We always remind people, Jesus didn't start in the New Testament. Jesus started before in eternity, before creation, before anything. Jesus and God, they're both eternal, right? And so as the Spirit of Christ would talk to the prophets and they were hearing God's word and writing it down, they were trying to figure out, who's this talking about and how could this be? And I'll give you a few examples of how it both predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glory that would follow. You'll know some of these. Isaiah 53 is known as the suffering servant, and you can look at the whole thing later if you'd like. But surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastising for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. Now, this is a great image of you know, although it's 750 years before Christ was crucified. But it talks about Christ. The Spirit was testifying that this is what was going to happen to God's Christ, God's Messiah, that he was going to be pierced, that he was going to be, you know, remember his hands were pierced, his side was pierced, and it says that he was flogged. Pilate flogged him. All these things were known, but it was for us. He died to save us from our transgressions. The punishment that he took on himself was to cover our sins, to cover our problems. There's no holiness. It's impossible to have holiness without the blood of Jesus Christ. It's impossible to have any right relationship with God unless our sins are atoned for, and there's only one atoning sacrifice for sin, and that's Jesus Christ. Then he says, therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong, because he poured out himself to death. This is, again, in the same text, but he talks about how Jesus is going to be great and he's going to be lifted up and he's going to be exalted. And we know that now, where Paul says he's got a name that's above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord. And this was prophesied back in Isaiah, again, 750 years before the cross. And that's what Peter's saying. Peter's saying that these texts were given so that we might recognize who Jesus is, so we might know the truth of the gospel. Another good example of a text in Psalm 2 says, the kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. The idea of the word anointed is actually a noun, and it's the only place in the Old Testament where anointed Messiah is used as a noun. So it joins the Messiah with Yahweh, two, together. It says the world aligns themselves against Yahweh and against his Messiah, his Christ. The word Christ actually is a translation of Messiah or anointed, same thing, right? So this is, again, the idea of the suffering, the agonies that might be faced because the world is against God and against his Christ. And then later he said to me, you are my son, today I have begotten you. Ask me and I will surely give the nations as your inheritance and the very ends of the earth as your possession. So the Father says to the Son, just ask and I will give you all creation. It's yours. And that's the glory of Jesus Christ, the name above all names, the power. But here we have the gospel kind of in the Old Testament. They didn't understand it. And that's what Peter's saying. It's interesting, neither did the disciples on the Emmaus Road after Jesus rose from the dead. I love that story, right? He's walking, and his two disciples are all sad. Don't you know what's happened? They took our Messiah, they took, you know, the one we thought was the Christ, and they crucified him and buried him, and you know, we don't know what happened to his body. And Jesus is walking with them, and he's telling them, and it says he began, and beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all scriptures. Jesus was sharing the gospel through the Old Testament, explaining to his disciples, and then he broke bread and he disappeared. And his disciples looked at each other. They finally recognized who he was. And they said, didn't our hearts burn when we heard him telling us these things? The Old Testament is Christ-centered. And that's what Peter was telling us. Peter was saying that, you know, these things they wanted to understand. They couldn't, because God kept it hidden until time of the gospel. It says they realized that they were not serving themselves, but you. And in these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, these things angels long to look into. Angels want to see what we have. Angels want to know what we know about Jesus Christ. So holiness begins with a relationship with Jesus Christ. Not a relationship with a pastor, not a relationship with a particular church, a relationship with Jesus Christ. Exactly. You have to have a relationship. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you can't be holy. You missed the whole thing. How many of you say, I have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Yeah, amen. Praise God. Yes. So we already, think about it, we already have a step towards holiness because we have Jesus Christ as our Savior to purify us, to give us that life born again spirit, to give us that ability to know God. Then he says, therefore, and that's why you had to talk about the gospel first. Therefore, what do? Prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts, which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Holiness is also something that needs to be maintained. That's where I think some of us, we don't struggle with it, but it kind of bothers us if we're not striding in the right direction, or if we feel like we're not quite getting farther enough along in that direction of holiness. We want to be holy because that's the call. But he's telling us, he says, listen, you have to have your mind set on God. You have to have your mind set on what it means to walk with God. It's not something that just happens. God's working. God's in us, right? But we maintain a mindset that says, you know, God, his word's important, his spirit's important, worship is important, all these things that help us to be sanctified, all these things that help us to be good disciples. So he says, make sure you set your hope on God's grace. Now, what does that mean? Remember, the word grace literally means to bow down and help somebody up, right? And it says that grace. Now, how many of us, we know there's a grace from God. I thank God every time I get to worship with people because I feel a little bit more grace than when I'm by myself. And when we worship God and we feel that grace, that's just a little tiny taste of what he's talking about. We know it's real. We know it's there. But he says this grace that we're hoping for will be coming at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The word revelation means to uncover. Right? There's a day where Jesus is going to be uncovered. Right now, we don't see him. He already said that last time. He said, we don't see him, but we love him. We haven't beheld his glory yet, but we want to. We want to serve him. We want to obey him, right? Well, one day, that's going to be revealed. Jesus says, I'm going to come, and the whole cosmos is going to be lit on fire by his coming. And at that point, those who belong to him, those who love him, those who are his, the full grace and power and glory of God comes on us, comes in us, changes us, transforms us forever. That's the grace. Now, what's he say? Put your hope completely on that day. What do we hope for? Hope is always something in the future, right? And you know, I'm not afraid of the future in the sense of what happens. You know, what am I going to do? Well, I want to be sure if this is my hope is the transforming power and work of Jesus Christ. My hope is the idea of being brought into the kingdom of heaven. If that's my hope, nothing can stop that from happening. We think about future things and we get scared. You know, will I have enough money to retire? Will I have enough money for kids in college? Will I have, you know, health? Well, you know, all these different things again bothers because we're looking out. We don't know what's going to happen. But this one we can know. This one God has testified to. He's told us. He says there's a hope that's real and it can't disappear. It can't change. And it's established by God at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So he's telling us part of being holy is about having God's aspiration in your heart to be seeking the kingdom of heaven. In the Sermon on the Mount, that's what Jesus told us, right? He said, seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, right? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. And everything else will be given to you, right? So here he is, he's saying it now. Then he says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. And this is the thing. Listen, there are a lot of people that live in this world and they have no knowledge about God. They don't often want to hear the truth about God. They don't want to hear the scripture. They want to kind of live in their own mindset and do things their own way. And what happens? In their ignorance, they follow whatever passions they have, whether it's sex, drugs, whatever it is. And it could be money. It could be, I mean, just as many things as you can name in the world, people can go after it with their whole heart, whole soul. We don't do that. We're different. Why? Because we're holy. Holy people live with God, right? We live with God. We don't follow the passions of the world. We don't listen to the ads on the internet or TV or newspaper or whatever, wherever you get your information that tells you, you've got to have this to be somebody. You know what I have to have to be somebody? I have to have Jesus Christ as my Savior. I have to have the Holy Spirit as my strength. I have to have God, my Father, as the one who protects and watches over me. See, that's what I have to have. And he says, so don't give up your alien citizenship. I want to be an alien. That means I'm a Christian. I live for God. I live by his word. I uphold the name of Jesus. That's what makes us aliens. I'm going to stay there. I'm not going back. I don't want to go back, right? No, don't want to go back. So when he says, like the one who is holy, he called you to be holy. So he says, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Again, this is an Old Testament quote that is given three times in Leviticus. And then Jesus uses it in Matthew chapter 5, you know, to be holy as God is holy. We've talked a lot recently when we did the Gospel of Matthew, we talked a lot about bearing the image of God. What is God looking for? Who gets to go to the kingdom of heaven? Image bearers. Image bearers. And when God says, be holy as I am holy, he's saying, be my image bearer. Be my image bearer. Be what I am. Be holy because I am holy. That's what God has wanted from the day one. He called Adam, and he made him in his image, and Adam failed because Adam chose to fight against God and try to take his place. That's what he did in the garden. Israel was called to be holy as God is holy, and they failed. They worshiped other idols. They messed up by having pagan relationships, and they gave up their alien citizenship to belong to the world, and so they failed. Jesus comes, and Jesus is the perfect image of God. Jesus is absolutely holy, right? He is holy as God is holy, and he submitted to God by going to the cross and dying for our sins. And Jesus now makes it possible through the blood of Christ, through the resurrection of Christ, through the sending of the Holy Spirit, for us to be holy as God is holy. For us to be holy as God is holy. If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth. He's talking to aliens, right? How long am I here? I don't know. What time is it? What day is it? It's coming, you know? Some of us are closer to the end than others, right? But it's coming. It's coming. And we're aliens. We're just going through here. I love the wilderness picture. We're going through a wilderness. We left the world, Egypt, and we're going through the wilderness, and we're trying to reach the promised land, and we don't want anything to do with the desert. We don't want this. We want to be God's people. During our stay, we want to belong to him. What happens with holy people? They call God Father. We call God our Father. We keep our mind and our heart on God. I live before God. Sometimes that can be hard. It can be challenging. Why? Because his thoughts are much higher than my thoughts, and his ways are much, much deeper than my ways. Isaiah 55 tells us, right? And I want to please him. I want him to, when I call him Father, I want him to say, yes, son. Yes, child. You know, I don't want him to say, I don't know you, right? So we live before God. That's holiness. Holiness means I'm thinking about God. I'm living before God. I want him to be pleased with my life. I want the idea of Jesus' sacrifice to be active in how I think, how I live, and how I plan my eternal retirement, right? He said, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver and gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with the precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. Holiness brought by the blood of Christ. We don't want to go back. We don't want to get engaged with things that the world wants to get engaged with. We want to stay God's people, God's aliens. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, like I said, right? Jesus didn't come in Bethlehem. Jesus existed before time existed. He's eternal. He says he was foreknown before God said, let there be light. Jesus was going to the cross. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world. But it has appeared in these last times for the sake of you. We know Jesus, and what can be sad for us is we start to take the message of Christ. Oh, yeah, we know that. Oh, I know. I became a Christian when I was 7. You know, no. That's why we always sang some songs about the cross of Christ. I need regularly to bow at the foot of Jesus Christ, to remember his cross, to remember his death, his resurrection, to remember the glory that he now holds in the kingdom of heaven, because our lives should somehow mirror that life. While we're here, we might go through things. We might suffer. We might struggle. While we're here, everything won't be perfect. But there's a time where when we get that revelation of Christ and we become God's people in eternity forever, we share in the actual glory of Jesus Christ. That's what he did. And it's for you who through him are believers in God. That makes us holy. Our faith makes us holy. See, were these things you were thinking of? When I ask you about holiness, the fact that I believe in God, the fact that I believe in his Messiah, the fact that I have called on God and know the power of the blood of Christ, the fact that the Holy Spirit is part of our life, those are the things that make us holy. He raised him from the dead and gave him glory so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. This is the big part of holiness. Holy people cling to God's truth. We're very sticklers about that here. We believe that the Word of God has a message, and we don't want to tamper with it. God spoke. Think of this. Everything came from God. All truth, all the universe, every living being, every soul, it all came from God. And who is best to speak about things, to give us wisdom, to give us understanding, to tell us what it's all about? It's the Word of God. The Word of God has a holy factor, purifying, sanctifying factor. Jesus told his disciples, he's praying for his disciples in John 17. He said, they're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. The word of God sanctifies us, purifies us, makes us God's people. That's why when we're here, we're in the word of God. When we're home, hopefully, we're in the Word of God. The Word of God is that powerful thing. Then this one, fervently love one another from the heart. That's holiness. That's holiness. To love the brethren, to love the family of God, brothers, sisters in Christ, those who are fellow believers, to have a real heartfelt love for those people who are belonging to God. It says, for you've been born again, not of the seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is through the living and enduring word of God. Everything in this world changes. Everything in this world is up to question. How many of you have heard 5 different versions of what's going on right now with the virus? I mean, I've got doctors saying opposite ends. Don't worry about it. Another one says, it's all real. You're all going to die. You know, Everything in this world is subject to doubt, subject to falsehood, subject to being changed the next day, except the Word of God. The Word of God is forever. He says, all flesh is like grass, and its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. This is a great chapter, Isaiah 40. It asks the question, who is like unto the Lord? Who is like unto the Lord? And he goes through, not an idol. Idol isn't like unto the Lord. The Lord is the center of all truth, all knowledge, all justice, all righteousness. The Lord is the center of all creation. And the Lord's word is from him. All that that came into being comes to us through his word. The best part of that is how that chapter ends. So youths grow weary. Young men stumble and fall. Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. That's what happens when we stand with God in his word, his truth, his work. This is kind of a big picture of holiness, isn't it? But it's centered on, you know, God, his work in us first. It's centered on his truth, which is absolute. I love this. You know, you want a definition of the word of God. It's imperishable, living, enduring. That's a good definition of the word of God. And it cleanses us. It makes us God's people. It helps us to be holy. Loving the brothers and sisters, that is part of being holy. Having faith in God, that's part of being holy. And I hope that as we're going through this, that you're kind of saying to yourself, you know what? I'm more holy than I thought. I'm more holy than I thought. I thought it was some big mountain I had to climb. No, it's the work of God going in us. But remember, he says, you got to maintain it. You got to keep it. Don't let the world creep in. Don't let the things of the enemy creep in. Yeah, there's more to this we'll do next week. But that's good for now. As we think about all that God has done for us and how he has helped us through the blood of Christ, right? So we're going to have communion.